Wrote down Isaiah 47. Is that what we all got? See if you got some pictures of Babylon. Both now and then the artist drawing, since they didn't have photography back then. Go down, set in the dust, virgin daughter of Babylon, set in the ground without a throne, daughter of the Babylonians. No more will you be called tender or delicate. Take millstones and grind flour. Take off your veil. Lift up your skirts and bare your legs and wade through the streams. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered. I will take vengeance. I will spare no one. Now that sounds like not a good way to start a love letter, does it? Because this was not a love letter. This was a warning by Isaiah to the nation of Babylon, which most of these people at that time had not heard of Babylon, and most of the Babylonians at that time had not heard of the nation of Israel. These are the prophecies that God is giving, the foretelling of what is to come because of two things. One, of what Babylon did to Jerusalem and the temple and the Hebrew people. And two, the reason that Babylon did it to Jerusalem and the temple and Hebrew children was, of course, their sins and their idolatry and their going against what God had told them. So, if you've ever been told or ever say to yourself, to someone, you brought it on yourself, the Jews brought it on themselves. Simple fact. But that does not stop God from trying to teach them a lesson. We know from the book of Genesis, all the way through to this part, and in the future part that he's writing ahead, that God has got plans for Israel. He will not destroy them, but that does not mean he will not punish them and keep trying to correct them and put them in the right direction. And that should not be any different for us today, that God wants us to go in a certain direction. Wasn't mine. Anybody remember the term training wheels? Remember training wheels? Training wheels is what you, when a child you think needs a bicycle, and you know they have not the strength to keep it going, or the stamina, or the balance to keep it upright. So you put training wheels on the back of it, and all they got to do is pedal a little bit, and then smile and ride and glide. God, oh. Have any of y'all ever been bowling where they put down the bumpers? I bowled about a 140. Then they took the bumpers up and it was back to 40. I mean, we play ricochet ball and everything else on that kind of stuff. Those were our guidelines to get us going in the right direction. Well, God's been trying to do that since Adam and Eve and all through the history of Israel to try to pinch them down into the right direction. He's now telling Babylon, okay, you're going to have lived your best. This happens down the road decades and decades, but you're going to live your best. And Babylon was high and mighty under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, and actually Nebuchadnezzar's father as well. They did well. You've heard the term the hanging towers, hanging gardens of Babylon. Basically, what most, you got a picture of that? Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Well, now you do. Hurry, hurry. They were very technologically advanced in architecture. And many of them feel that what they would do is that they made arches, just a continuous series of arches. And on the top they would put what we call guardrails or sides on it. And they would pump water from the water supply through a shoot, the word something screw, not a Hercules, not a, is it Archimedes? Has, in the found it, if you turned a round tube, who is it? No, that's a dance in the 20s. They would have a tube, they would have a spiral down inside, like a drill bit, twist bit, and as they turned it, the water would catch on the bottom. As they turned the screw, it would just keep going all the way. What is it? An auger, yeah, but there's a guy that invented that. And it, like Artemichides or somebody, that, something other screw. And so they would take it all the way to the top in different levels, and then the water would flow down through the upper part. There you go. The water would flow along and then water all the plants. If you notice, those are hanging. And these are growing out of the troughs. So that was a hanging garden, considered one of the seven great wonders of the ancient world, is that. So they had to make, how could they afford to do that? How could a place, they didn't have no central bank to go to, how could they afford to build something like that? How would you, what's the first thing you think about when you want to build something like that? Somebody knows how they're doing it. So they would have to have architects, engineers, and craftsmen. Well, we know that Israel had the craftsmen, and a lot of other people did because of the great buildings. Even Egypt had the craftsmen for the buildings they built. Number two, what's the next thing you think about when you build something like that? That's labor. We talk about labor. That's, huh? The cost is exactly right. That wasn't free. That limestone was hand cut and all that kind of stuff. Where did they get the money to build it? Simplest answer. No, they left tax in Babylon to build that. No. What's the easiest way to get money? They stole it. They would go conquer another city and rob them blind. They'd take the talent. They'd also take all the gold and the silver and all the wealth. Just like they did when they raided the temple. They took the gold and the silver and the bronze and all the wealth. So you can be really fancy with somebody else doing the work and on somebody else's money. Was it Margaret Thatcher that said, we can be very generous till we run out of somebody else's money? Well, that's kind of what happened there. So they got fancy. They was really proud of themselves. They was happy with themselves. Now he says, sit in the dust. Well, now you don't tell a queen or princess in this case to go sit in the dust. It's the poor people that sit in the dust. It's those in mourning that sit in the dust and throw dust in the air like they would do in the times of Israel. Sit on the ground. You don't have a throne. You're not called tender or delicate. In the time of the old ones, the princesses of the Chinese society would have something special done to them. Anybody know what it was? They all looked like they were at Walmart and was trying to walk away with, trying to steal some flip-flops. You never see anybody at Walmart trying to steal flip-flops? Chuck, they bound their feet. And if you start binding their feet when they're very, very young, you are unable to do any kind of physical labor. So they would bind their feet. They would keep them fairly thin and delicate, and that meant that they had to be taken care of by their maids and stuff. But he says, no more are you going to be delicate. You're not going to be tender anymore. You've met people that when you shake their hands or look at the face, you see, that's a weathered person, been out a lot or done a lot of outside work or physical work. An Alaskan or somebody that works in a coal mine or a timber yard or cuts trees and stuff. Those lumberjacks, they're pretty rough to go at. Not the baby soft look. Well, these girls, you might as well get over that. Take the millstones and grind flour. Take off your veil. The veil no longer shows that you're a lady because you're not a lady anymore. You're a servant. And a millstone, you all seen millstones, anywhere from probably 6 inches wide to, I've seen them 8 and 9 feet wide. Where the mill, with a full grain would go in, they would grind it down, the husk would blow away, and it would be the fine powder, the fine flour that you would have. That's what your job's going to be. You're not going to be, lift up your skirts and bare your legs and wade through the streams. Nobody's going to give you a horse ride or carry you in a some kind of way where you can be carried and taken care of. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered. I will take vengeance. I will spare no one. So God's saying, you're going to pay for what you did. You're going to pay for what you said, well, I didn't do it. You're going to pay for what your country did. Not every Japanese citizen, German citizen, the French VC citizens, the Italian citizens, not every one of them were there at Tokyo or any place else that the war was started. But the entire nation, in general, was subject to the reprisal of those in World War that was on the Allied sides and the Axis. So a lot of the term is called collateral damage. Now, most of us, let's see, I don't know who the youngest one is. Janet Sue, you're probably the youngest one here. Huh? What are you, 60, 55? You're just a mere child. The rest of us look at you. Most of us then can remember if we did not. Well, your father fought in the war. You know, most of you knew somebody, a parent or relatives, fought in those wars or other wars. The time of World War II and World War I and stuff, the main mission of an army was to kill people and break things. You'd wear them down. That's why we bombed the factories in Germany that made the ball bearings and made the chemicals and those type of things. Well, Babylon is now going to be destroyed for their sins. And everybody's going to have to work their way through it. Verse 4, now, here comes the good part. So we've done the hard part. Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Now the prophet wants to straighten them out a little bit. It's not one of your gods. It's not one of your kings that's coming up. It is the Redeemer. And we have to look for the Redeemer in our lives. I don't know if this is in our red book or not, but there's a song we used to sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Remember that? Well, that's the basis of what this Redeemer thing means, that it's not done by an idol, by a stone rock or anything, stone or rock or a tree carved or something. It's done by God, the Redeemer. He bought us back. prior to this time, we studied in Sunday school about two, three weeks ago about Ruth and Boaz. And since Ruth's husband was dead and she had no one to take care of her, it was the responsibility for the next closest Hebrew male relative to redeem her, to buy her if she has any debts, buy her out of slavery if she'd been sold into slavery, and to take care of her. Well, Boaz was the second closest. The first closest had his eyes on some other woman and didn't want to take an older woman. She's probably between 25 and 40. Remember when that used to seem old? Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, most of us have children that old now or older. But your Redeemer said, sit in silence into the darkness, daughter of the Babylonians. No more will you be called the Queen of Kingdoms. Isn't it amazing that throughout history there's usually one or two major countries or nationalities or tribes that ruled those around them? You know, it was the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, down to Alexander the Great, the Romans. After the Romans, it went up to the, a lot of the Germanic tribes were in charge, Attila the Hun. We've got the, after that we had the Vikings and all. And then it became, powerhouses were England, you know, the sun never sets on the British Isles, and France, and Spain, who hadn't been busy fighting each other, could have controlled the world. So there's always been a top dog in the bunch. Well, it's not going to be Babylon anymore. I was angry. Here we go, back what we spoke of a minute ago. I was angry with my people and desecrated my inheritance. I gave them into your hand and showed them no mercy. Even on the age you laid a heavy yoke. You said, I will continue forever the eternal queen. But you did not consider those things or reflect on what might happen. So God says, I put them in time out. They made me mad. You know, we often hear God has human traits. Or maybe I like better, humans have a lot of God's traits. But he showed he was angry and he went out and got revenge. I have to ask, has that changed? Does God still try to straighten out the nations. If you were here Sunday morning, I spoke about the politician who said that the Bible's been misquoted too much, and the Bible is pro-abortion because life doesn't start till the breath is breathed. Well, the first time you read about the breath is actually in the book of Genesis when God breathed into Adam and Eve the breath of life. Who was the mother of Adam and Eve? Whose womb were they in? How could they have been aborted? How could they have grown? They were created as adults to start off with. So that argument didn't hold water. Last night, Tucker Carlson had on this mayor from Lafayette, South Bend, North Bend, somebody's Bend. Is it South Bend? And his brother was a Pentecostal preacher. They didn't agree a whole lot on that issue. He kept calling for his brother to repent and change. Brother-in-law. He quoted Psalms 139 several times about it. That life comes to conception. God, even David said, you knew me as I was being knit in my mother's womb. That we were humans then. Chuck. I've not seen proof any different. That's exactly right. But if you ever see somebody tell you I'm a self-made man or woman, ask them what that hole is in the middle of their belly. That self-made is sort of gone on that issue. You've never heard that before, Larry? Surely you have. You can write it down now. Quote me. You said, I will continue forever the eternal queen. And don't we see one nation after another nation who thought they were just it all to be all and ended up failing? What is the longest lived nation without a change of leadership in the history? I'm having to say probably England. Because even the Chinese went through all those dynasties, even though they've been around a long time. They went through different dynasties, different leaderships. The Egyptians went through different dynasties, different leaderships. We know the Hebrews were gone for a while before they came back. And it may just be England. And what's that like? I saw Mary, Queen of Scots. Boy, those people were Looney Tunes. I mean, did y'all ever see Mary, the Tudors and the Stuarts? They're just Looney Tunes. But so that was like 516, 518 or something like that. So they've not been around that long. Oh, by the way, the king that took over, Mary, Queen of Scots' son, only living son, to reach adulthood, became the king of Scotland, England. His name was James the First. Anybody know James the Sixth of Scotland, James the First of England? Who James the First was, what is he known to do? Easy question, promise you. He's the one that gave in to Oliver Cromwell and had him sign the Magna Carta, which gave the freedom to the citizens. Number two, even more important in my book. Yours too. He commissioned the King James Bible. King James is King James the First, the son of Mary, Queen of Scots, and the succeeder to the throne after the death of Elizabeth. Charles. No, the Protestant, the Church of England came from his grandfather, Henry VIII. You know, the song years ago, I'm Henry VIII, I am? That's him. That's who they named that after. Who did that? Hermans. So, but you do not consider these things to reflect on or what might happen. Do you think if I did, are any of y'all chess players? One, two. Okay, slowest game in the world. I think they ought to put a time clock on chess, like 8 seconds. But the people who are really good at that, they'll think 5, 6, 7 moves ahead. Most of us are like checkers. If I move here, I don't care what you do, I'm going to move there anyway. You know, and we don't plan that far ahead in our life in general. That's a problem. I'm just going to do it today and hope it all works out for us. Then listen, you wanton creature. Longing in your security and saying to yourself, I am, and there is none beside me. Who did I talk to this Sunday? I mentioned something about an only child. And they said they were an only child and wished they had siblings. Because they got to do everything, but they got blamed for everything too, and didn't have anybody to blame it on. I tell you what, I've taught some only children. True story, true as it could be. His name was Gary. I was teaching elementary school. I was a gym teacher, Mr. P.E., Mr. Jim. And in came a little black teacher about that tall. She said, there's an adult in my class. Huh? Pre-K. No, it was a combine K. Halfway first grade, halfway second grade. Okay, went in, and there was a boy about that tall. About that tall. He was 7. He was 8 in the first grade. He was the only child. Mama was 50 or 55 when he was born. Waited to school. She said he was not ready for school at 5 or 6, even though he was as tall as she was. Went to the first grade at the age of 7 and cried for the first 2 weeks she took him out. Brought him back at 8 and told the teacher, Mrs. Anderson, now, Gary is very shy and quite timid. If he does anything wrong, you slap the kid next to him, he'll get the message. It'll scare him bad enough. That is a, you know, I like to embellish. I can't embellish that. That's a true story. And the teacher wanted to kill her. Not the kid, because the kid didn't know any better. But he could not do anything wrong in her eyesight. Well, I met her years later. She took me to her house. And her husband was an IBM engineer, doctor this and doctor that. And she had one thing on the wall of hers. She says, my son's birth certificate, the only thing I've done important in my life. Shallow. Longing for your security. Saying to yourself, I am, and there's none beside me. You've met people like that who think they're the only thing there is. They're the it. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment. On a single day, loss of children and the widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. No matter what you do, hardships are going to come to you, Babylon. You can't ward God off. And so far, so often, we try to make a deal with God. I know there's people. Lord, if you let me pass this test today, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do something else. When you start making a deal with God, just like Abraham tried with those 50 righteous men and 40 righteous men down to 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah. Came barking with God on that realm. You've trusted in your wickedness. No one sees me, you have said. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you. Then you say to yourself, I am, and therefore none is beside me. There's a every once in a while, when my remote control battery is gone, it jumps from a show I like into something called the Big Bang Theory. Y'all, anybody ever see the Big Bang Theory? And the tall, skinny guy? Who? Sheldon. You've seen it. And now they got young Sheldon, too. I don't think he'd get out of the rain. But have you not met people like that, though, that just think they are? Now, you right there, Myra, have fooled doctors over the telephone as you were pharmacists.
Oh, they think they are God. They can do no wrong.
It's funny you say that. Marshall Leggett, my preacher, told this story. He said, Billy Graham died and went up to heaven. St. Peter met him at the door. Said, now I know you're pretty active on heaven, on earth, Billy, but you ain't nobody here. You're just same as everybody else. So Billy went to lunch at the back of the line, breakfast at the back of the line, supper at the back of the line. Said, every day, there's this guy in a white coat and a stethoscope around his neck, ran to the front line, cut from everybody. After a week or two, he saw St. Peter. Said, everything going good? He said, yeah, but I got one question. Every day, this guy with a little white coat, white beard, long flowing white hair, gets in front of the line wearing a stethoscope and a doctor's white robe. He said, don't mind him. That's God, but he thinks he's a doctor. I've met those people in the hospital. Some of you probably have as well. And the sad part is they at times put themselves, your brother had surgery. When Mark had his arm hurt. 32, but the one of them was a Dr. Monroe. He was a skin specialist. What do you call him? Plastic surgeon. And he was arguing with the bill with the insurance company. Now, this was 81, 82. And they said, this is all we pay. He says, madam, that's what he told your folks. There's nobody in the world that can do the surgeries I do as well as I do. How can you compare my rates to somebody else? And they paid him. Well, it's kind of true for Mark. But he had that kind of arrogance and all that kind of stuff. He felt that way. You've met people like that. You have trusted your wickedness and says, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge. You can be really smart. And you think pretty good, but it doesn't always lead you in the right path. Disaster will come upon you, and you do not know how to conjure it away. The calamity will follow you upon you, will fall upon you, and you cannot ward off with a ransom. Several times the Hebrew kings would try to buy off the people that were attacking them. And they would show them their amount of wealth. And this happened with the Babylonians as well. When they showed them their wealth, they said, we got to attack you now. There's too much for us to not take. A catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. I'm driving down the road this morning. My thing says, look at the gauges. I looked over and the temperature, the thermometer gauge, supposed to be about 210, was 260 in the red. Well, I stopped and poured half my drink of water down the filler basket, and I called Colin, and the radar just blew out right then. So some things we don't see. We don't force. You can't see that happening. You can see a gas tank being empty, but you can't see your water radiator blowing up. There are things we just don't understand. Keep on then with your magic spells, with your many sorcerers, which you've labored since childhood. Have you noticed there's a lot of voodoo and sorcery and stuff like that going on even in our own country today? False gods of a lot of these religions made in man's image. So we're in a condition now that Isaiah talked about in about 700 B.C. So we're 27 or so hundred years later, and it's still coming true. People do what people do. Besides, you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received is only worn you out. Let your astrologers, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it used to be when I was growing up, they had those astrology things in the newspaper. And if you looked at any certain day, if your birthday, if you're a Libra or you're a unicorn or something like that, it's supposed to, what? Well, you're going to be 1 out of 12 right anyway. And some of those things are so general. You say, well, he knows me. I'm not asked for a show of hands at all on this one. But I have known people who have gone to fortune tellers. Anybody ever know anybody went to a fortune teller? And they'll get some of it right. Well, look at a person's hands. Look at a person's face. Look at the way they walk. Look if they sit down like they're tired or stand up like they're straight. You can guess a lot of different things just by looking at people. The only way they would know those kind of things is either God told them or the devil told them. And God tells them to stay away from sorcerers and witches and all that kind of evil because you put them between you and God. So we have to figure the devil told them if it's true. Sure, they are like stubble with fire. They'll burn up. They cannot even save themselves from the pyre of the flame. There are no coals to warm anyone. There's no fire to sit by. I hate camping. Now, some of y'all might like camping. It's either too hot. You have to stay inside because it's too hot. It's raining, so you have to stay inside because it's raining. It's too cold, so you have to stay inside because it's cold. Well, just stay at home and stay inside because that seems to be what you're doing anyway. These people can't get enough heat to keep warm or can't cool themselves off. That God has made very uncomfortable to them. That is all they can do for you. These you have labored with in traffic since childhood. Each of them goes on his era. It goes on in his era. And not a one of them can save you. Now, this was written to Israel about the coming of Babylon. Neither it happens yet. It's a warning. I'm not a promoter of medicine, And the truth of the matter is, I will not take a flu shot. But have you not been seeing all these flu shot advertisements on TV? Put that red Band-Aid on you or something like that. And they'll recommend you do this and recommend you do that. Take a flu shot. And what happens, Becky, when you take a flu shot? You get the flu. Probably a different kind. Because there's only one out of six or seven, you know, different kinds. But we've been warned. Well, when God warns us today, what do we do? Chuck. Or there is no God. Yeah, but notice where that's written. Except. Came by salvation. Thank you, Dick. And truly, they can't buy happiness either. They can buy the things that go around it. Yeah. And a lot of them do think there's something special. You can make a decision. There's a lot of discussion now. They had Prager, Dennis Prager, testified before Congress one day last week, before the Senate, I think, of how he believes that the Googles and stuff will start directing your information to try to change the upcoming election. And that they had the power to do it. They had the power to do it. Prager tried to put on a definition of the Ten Commandments, and they would not allow him. Commandment 7, thou shalt not murder. Well, you can't mention murder on. He's taken to court. He's also gone to the Senate about it as well, yeah. But if they don't like it, you're kicked out. So a lot of people do think it's that way. I don't know if you ever had a boss or a person you knew that was that way, but there are people like that that think, I am special. I am regal. I am royal. I am the king and queen. And most of them are aggravating as can be. You know? Let's see. Larry, you were in the military. Who else in the military? You were in the military. Bob was, but he can't hear me anyway because I don't have his earphones on. You were in the military. Did you ever meet a general that seemed to be very humble and kind and care about you? You met one? Oh, well, you were his favorite son then. And you called him by his first name? He must have been from the country. From the South. Because we're pretty common people. Listen to this, O house of Jacob. You who are called by the name of Israel. Come from the line of Judah. You who take oaths in the name of the Lord, invoke God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. So now we're going to talk to Judah. Israel. More Judah, because Israel was about whooped by that time. I told the Babylonians what I'm going to do to them. Are you going to learn? Or because you are thinking that you am at all? You call yourselves the citizens of the holy city, which is Jerusalem. Rely on God of Israel, the Lord God, the Lord Almighty is his name. I foretold you former things long ago. My mouth announced them, and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. The sinews, we would call them ligaments, I think is a better term. The ligaments in your neck is like iron. Can't turn to the right, can't turn to the left. All you want to do is look where you're going, straight ahead. Stubbornness. You ever have a pet? Denise, you're the cat person. Do cats get stubborn like dogs do, or they just don't care?
They can be both.
They just privileged. You're just privileged to be able to take care of them, right?
They are the
You made the whole lesson today. Thank you, Denise. I couldn't have asked for a better description. That. You know, you met people like that. This is the decision it's going to be. Here's how it works. And most of the time, those seem to be not very nice people. Al Capone, all these mobsters and gangsters we hear about. I can't think in my mind, after watching all the shows last night on the news this morning, how a person or two can conceive. I think I'm going to go up and take four planes and blow up four buildings in the United States and we'll all be happy. I can't conceive of that. It's what evil thinks. Who said that? Thank you. That is an evil thought. Well, thank you. I just learned like this time last week that Becky wants me to die the same time she dies. It means I'll live to be 94. It so touched me. The little more I thought about it, I started having tears in my eyes. Do not get hit by a car, Becky, unless I'm in it with you. Yeah. Don't anything that can come out of a can if Becky dies first. It's a spam sealed. Somebody brought me a bite-sized can of spam. Who made the spam and scallop potato Sunday? Wasn't it, though? And there's no person here not here to take credit. I'll pass the word along to do it again. For real? Oh, my goodness. So they've been listening, haven't they? Couldn't find spam. Bottle of water, all you want. Can't get spam. For I knew how stubborn you were. Well, your forehead was like bronze. Bang your head against the wall. Therefore, I told you these things long time ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you so that you would not say, my idols did them. My wooden image and metal gods ordained them. You've heard these things, verse 6. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? Can you say that you're wrong? Well, we want to blame somebody else. I never wanted to name a child Johnny. Johnny did it. Blame Johnny. Thinking about it right now. But Johnny really did do it, though. They created Hal, and not long ago. You have not heard of them before today. So that you cannot say I knew of them. In other words, I'm not going to give you any excuses. We're an excuse-bound nation, aren't we? It's always somebody else's fault. You've neither heard nor understood. From the old, your ear has not been open. How many times have you told somebody something? Or were you told something, and the person being told did not listen? They say, why didn't you tell me about that? Why didn't you tell me if I did this, that, or the other, I would be sick, or I'd be poor, or something else would happen to me? Why don't you tell me not to stick my tongue to the flagpole? It's cold. You know? And we want to blame somebody else for not taking care of us. We particularly, this generation, is in a baby society. We want somebody to do it for us. The government or the neighbors or churches or something. We don't want to do it ourselves. We want the country to do it for us. You see, I have refined you, though not as silver. I've tested you in a furnace of affliction. I'm going to mark that. That's a whole sermon right there. Silver. When you first get it, it is not pure. It's an ore. Gold is an ore. Iron is an ore. And they heat them up. Usually they grind it up first, but they heat them up. And at a certain temperature, the silver, the gold, the iron will melt. And will come out of it, and what you have left over is a slag. That's called the refiner's fire. If you've watched that TV show Gold Rush, when they make those steel gold bars, they'll chip on it. And if anybody ever here seen a welder work, an arc welder, where you've got those gobs of stuff, and they take the little tinky hammer, tick 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 tick, and all that junk draws off, and you got a nice clean weld. Well, that's what he's talking about: the heat, the refiner's fire, the silver. Has been purified, but not with fire, but the furnace of affliction. How often have we gone through a terrible event, or shared, may I ask, add, a terrible event with someone else, and when it's over, we have come out the better for it. I love to hear the stories about a lot of our returning veterans who said, I never would have tried this had I not lost a leg or an eye or an arm or whatever in the war. We've got a U.S. congressman now that's, I think it's this eye, blind in one eye, wears a patch. He said, I never would have had the desire, let alone the nerve, to get up and run for an office had I not gotten through the adversity of trying to recover from losing an eye. If you've had a broken leg, anybody ever had a broken leg? About half of us probably. Learn how to walk on that crutch. All of a sudden you get rid of the crutches, you feel so free, you're so much better. Well, that's the period of affliction. Loss of a loved one, loss of a friend. It snowed when it should have rained. It rained when it should have been dry. It's dry when you'd rather have moisture. And we're tested. We're battle tested. Is it history? They get four people, and they give them chunks of metal. Then they're supposed to make swords out of it or different kinds. Is it called Forged in the Fire? Forged in the Fire. Anybody watch that show? Oh, you have. How cool that is. They'll take leaf springs from a car, different kind of things. They'll make it into a beautiful weapon. But what they keep doing all the time, they heat it up, put in water. Heat it up, put in water. They're tempering it, making it hard, stronger that way. So you ever see the word tempered steel? It's steel that's had the heat to it. Most of us who've been successful in life have been tempered, not by heat. And I think the word affliction is probably hardships. There's other words you could use without affliction. I mean, sometimes affliction seems to be a birth process, but hardships, dissatisfaction, whatever it is, we've been made stronger that way. And we may look down 5 or 10 years later and say, well, I made it through that, and I'm a better person for it. That's what God's saying to the Israelites. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another one. So I'm a jealous God. He's told us that. And this whole issue of them being captured by Babylon and the different places where they've been overrun is simply because they were not true to God. And they would take on other gods to worship. Even Solomon's wives. Look at all the false gods they brought with them and the hardship it had upon Israel. So I just can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Listen to me, O Jacob. Israel, who I called, I am he. I am the first and I am the last. Now, this is the I am we're talking about with Moses. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. With my right hand I spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Watch for the idols has foretold. Watch which of the idols has foretold these things. The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. Who is the Lord's chosen ally? To carry out a purpose against Babylon. Huh? Persia. And his name was Cyrus. And followed up by Darius. We know that God chose them way before this event happened. Because he knew that they had to be redeemed. It was Cyrus that got rid of Babylon and Darius that paid their way to let them go and build back the temple. Thank you. Build back the temple and build back Jerusalem. So God knew he was going to get them out of the mess they were in. Why was God going to get them out of the mess they're in? Because he had to have Jesus Christ born and lived and died on Calvary. So it was part of the master plan. A good Now, I don't know about the Tom Terrific movies. But remember back on Sunday nights, back in the late 50s, early 60s, maybe 70s, when that match would light and the fuse would run across? It would be the impossible missing force. You know, and all through the story, you figured, how's this going to work? How's this going to work? All of a sudden, the last boom, 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 it all fell into place. Well, that's what God had done with them. He set everything up. Then boom, 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 it all fell into place according to his will. Come together, all of you who listen. Pay attention, Israel. I will bring him, and he will succeed on his mission. Come near me and listen to this. For the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am here. I told you it's going to happen. I can think of school teachers. They'll give you the first week of school, and we're going to have a project due in 6 weeks. And she didn't say 6 weeks and 2 days because you had a headache. She said 6 weeks. Are you ready in 6 weeks for that project? If not, you might as well get a zero on it. How the Sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in all the way you should go. Do you ever have a friend, maybe even a relative, that seemed to have all the right answers for you? You would ask them frequently, what should I do about this? Where should I go with this situation? Is this a good job? Is this good advice? Help me along. And usually when you listen to them, it turned out very well. That's what he's saying here. Listen to me, and it will turn out a whole lot better than if you do it on your own. I don't think it was God that told George, a General George Custer, to go down and fight those Indians at the Battle of Little Bighorn. Probably wasn't his idea at all. But George did what he wanted to do. And often enough, we just say, well, most people in the Bahamas that die are going to die by what? Huh? Drowning. Yeah. Wasn't the wind. It's the water that's going to get them. They were told to evacuate. It was coming. 1 mile an hour. And they still. Now, sometimes we listen to the wrong advice. Y'all remember about, good night, when was that? 04. 15 years ago. Everybody go down to Fort Myers because the hurricane's going to hit Charlie's going to hit Tampa. That wasn't the best advice. Ponte Gorda. Leave Babylon free from the Babylonians, verse 20. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth and say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. And this is, of course, when Moses was leaving them. He split the rock and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. I have heard that said over and over and over. There's no peace for the wicked. First said no peace for the weary, but the Bible says for the wicked. Because they're always trying to find what's the next thing to do. Any questions about 48 and 49? 47 and 48. 49 will move a lot quicker because he's talking about God's servant. And there we're going to come up with those who helped God and those who did it his way. Thank you much.